Sabbath blessings, everyone. I pray that this Sabbath is a blessing unto all of us. If you can kneel, why don't we start with prayer? For that is the best way to start. And if you can't kneel due to, physical issues, no worry, there's no sin in that. Or if you're in a car or something like that, it's not a problem. Please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, and we love you. And thank you for teaching us how to love each other as well. Thank you for calming our hearts and blessing us with eternal life, and for forgiving us of all our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness as if we never did any sin. And please, Father, let it be that we are blessed with the latter rain if we are so worthy. We want to take part in that final act of your Son's bride that glorifies you in ways no one can imagine. Please bless our gathering with your presence. Please bless everyone here in attendance. And bless us all that are on the prayer list and all the prayer requests that are being put in the room now and were put in the room during the children's study as well. And thank you so much for blessing us with a way to share your truth with so many all around the world by using this technology. And thank you for letting it stay online as long as possible and for giving us the tools to do so as well. And please bridle my tongue and any tongue that may speak. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, we are a minute or two earlier. I was wondering, too, Brother Joe, when I heard the song go on, I go, wow, it's 6 minutes, too. And I'm thinking, that's got to be a long song. I never realized how long it was, but turns out it's only 4 minutes. So, but hey, far be it from me to not want to get on the mic early. And so praise the Lord. All right, so this week, for those of you who don't know, we're doing the sanctuary study. Did you notice the new, obviously you noticed it if you're in the stream, the new graphic that I've got there on there? The only thing I added to it was it says we go live at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Brother Craig made that for me. And so that's going to be the weekly thing it looks, the way it looks for now. But for now, we're in the sanctuary, and so let's change that. Kitty, you're going to have to go relax. Come on, get. Good girl. Got my little kitty here in the office with me. And no, it's not Wussa. I kicked him out right before we started because he'll start chirping and making all sorts of noise. So this week, we started touching on prayer, I think, last week and maybe even the week before that in regards to, the altar of incense and the reasons for it, but this is something that we can discuss for quite a while in regards to prayer. And, I mean, I've done some, I can imagine, Fran. But, we can go on for quite a while on this. Like I said, I have a sermon series that I did on prayer, three different types of sermons. And still, we can do many, many more. And this week, I want to touch on, why some prayers are not answered. And this has to do with all the, Christian, the church from, the last 2,000 years wherein Satan, as he planned, since he was unable to defeat Jesus when he visited us, and so he's placing his focus on the people of God to try and cripple the gospel message as well as the present truth message of today, because just like the old saying goes, and a lot of people don't understand this because it's just a spirit of Satan, and so they don't catch it right off, but misery loves company. And that's why a third of heaven fell. When Satan was able to convince the angels, it's just like with anybody else, like when I was a hood, and I would do things, well, 90% of the times I would do stupid stuff by myself. I didn't like dragging people in it, and I was never a follower. And so but I do know of people that have ended up behind bars and stuff like that and caused others as well because they don't want to do it alone. Or say if you do drugs and stuff like that, a lot of people prefer, or drinking. That's why bars were invented, because a lot of people want to, be drinking with friends. But still, they'll drink alone at home too, as well, I'm sure. But it makes it a lot more fulfilling for the flesh, which is glorified by Satan, if you drink with friends. Because I can remember the days when I used to drink. It was exciting to go to the bar, I couldn't wait to get there, And sometimes I didn't drink. I was just mostly into the action of it all that was going on. But that's from Satan as well, because it's just a pile of sin and sinners. I mean, it was just a mess. But many different denominations out there confirm that Satan's been busy. And due to mankind accepting the doctrines of demons and the traditions of man as if they are of God, their sinfulness has separated them from the Lord they claim to be close to, and that's why prayer has gotten so weak. And that's why a lot of times, most of the time, in fact, because Christendom is pretty much a mess, there's not going to be a lot of answers, with the prayers. In fact, it says in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, it says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Kind of reminds me of another verse. I might bring it up later, because a lot of the Catholics will, and even people that are in agreement with the Pope, like all the denominations are, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church, tithings from SDA people are being sent to the Vatican in regards to the One World Church, and I prove it. On SDA apostasy, we got the doc files on it, and so they're all in agreement with it. And so a lot of people, especially the Catholics, I bring this up in regards to how. Look up that one verse. I think it's in the Ezekiel, where the Lord says, "You lift your hands to heaven, and I will not hear because your hands are full of blood." I'm paraphrasing a little bit there, but. Because a lot of these people, and they, especially the angry ones, like with the Catholics, they'll use the four-letter words and the death threats and stuff. The SDAs don't, although they will use insults and name-calling and stuff like that, and hatred. It was in Isaiah. It was either Isaiah or Ezekiel. I just took a shot there. Isaiah 1:15 says, "And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you, yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear, your hands are full of blood." And I use that a lot with the Catholics because of the many prayers things, the rosary. And they think they were going to be heard for their much speaking, as Jesus said. And so it's just, and they go, "Well, what about the bloody hands?" Well, if you're Roman Catholic or in agreement with the Pope, then you have no problem with the Pope's past. Because we all know about the Inquisition, which Jesus called the Great Tribulation. But because Rome has been outed in a big way in regards to that great tribulation where they killed so many people, they manufactured a new prophecy, if you will, called the secret rapture and all this other stuff, where they, instead of 1,260 years, they say it's 1,260 days. And all this. That's why David Gates is doing what he's doing in the SDA church. He's just pushing Vatican theology because the visions faileth. When they're, when disobedient reigns. And so that's why the SDA church is mixed up in regards to the prophetic. They'll echo the old standards like anybody can. A five-year-old kid that can read can do that. And now they're coming up with prophetic statements that echo Rome. And then you look at Spirit of Prophecy, it's been rewritten just as much as the Bibles have. And so, but of course, there are many, many reasons as to why prayers go unheard in today's world. And so I cannot possibly, cover every reason, because we'd be here for eternity. And so we're going to touch on this again, I'm sure. There's other areas in the regards to the prayer, the reasons for prayer, the wisdom behind praying, that we should pray. And by the way, if you recall, it was when Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, was tending to the altar of incense 2,000 years ago when the angel Gabriel actually appeared to him and told him that he and Elizabeth's prayers were finally answered regarding a baby. And so it was fitting that such a prayer would be answered when John's father was tending to the altar that represented the prayers of the saints themselves in the first place. So perfect there. But Jesus Christ, our high priest, our eternal high priest, loves to listen to and receive the requests of his bride as well as present them to his father. When speaking of Jesus Christ, our high priest, it says this in Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews 7, verses 22 to 28. It says this. I'm assuming everybody can hear me on the stream. Yeah. Okay. It says that Jesus made a surety for of a better testament. Let me see, where am I picking it up here? 22, yeah, verses 2. Is that, yeah, I got a PM here in a way. Okay, there it is. Hey, so Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were, many priests, rather, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But, in other words, people just die. You know, if they didn't, we'd have a whole mess of high priests, or regular priests. But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. In other words, he's not going to die off. You can rely on him forever, even for your grandkids, let's say, and your great-grandkids. So verse 26 says, for such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself, because we all know the prophetic utterance of what we're studying here, the sanctuary, obviously. That was all pointed to what was going to happen at the cross. And a lot of people miss that, especially those that continue on keeping the feast days. They don't realize what Jesus meant when he said, it is finished. Everything that you've been doing, and been, you know, like the pattern, all. I mean, the sanctuary is still there. It's still in heaven. It was there before Moses was given the pattern. And so, but the act of sacrifice, that's done. And the feast days that pointed to it. Yeah. I mean, we're actually in a spiritual day of atonement, is, you know. You know, the anti-type, or type of the, actually, spiritual Day of Atonement. So going on, verse 28, for the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. And so again, seeing how he ever liveth to do this for his bride, one can rest assured that his bride's prayer will always be presented to the Father. But as is the topic in this part of the study, you know, some prayers are not answered. And so let's look at a few reasons why this happens to some Christians. First and foremost, this is the absolute here. Hebrews 11:6. This one's pretty plain. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, especially for the humble types or the poor folks, I would think some of the people that are rich are going to have a high and mighty, you know, mindset, thinking they're all that. But a lot of the poor are, you know, because I know I struggled this early on, because I, you know, I've never been a rich man, and in finances anyway. I praise his, you know, the poorest man on earth can be richest in truth, you know. So, but when you're used to having a life that is a little rough, and you don't have everything handed to you, you know, you're certainly not born with a silver spoon in your mouth, kind of thing. And so when you think about a reward, you think about you've got to be worthy of it. And since, you know, just the way the world designs that, you know, the way Satan, you know, manipulates reality and society, a lot of the poor folks out there think that they're not worthy to be blessed with faith, or even a, you know, an answer to prayer or a reward. They won't ask for the big prayers, they'll ask for little things and stuff like that. And there's nothing wrong with asking for the, because the Lord can turn you around. He can just all of a sudden make it to where you are a mighty man or a mighty woman of faith. and then you could be used by him in some amazing ways. But if you don't believe in him and the promises he made to you, then how on earth are you able to get your prayer answered? I mean, Jesus also said in John 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And so unless you come to Jesus, which then declares you believe in Jesus, he will no wise cast you out. I mean, you know, after all, is it not written in 1 John 5, verse 10? 1 John 5, verse 10. Hold on a second here. All right. Yeah, 1 John 5:10, it says that he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record, that God gave of his Son. And the witness in himself is, of course, the Holy Spirit bring all things to our remembrance, and we know who Jesus is because the Holy Spirit tells us daily. Okay, well, praise the Lord, Fran. Amen. Good to know. All right, so just as prophecy cannot be understood unless you believe and obey the God that wrote it, and this is why none of the churches, including the SDA Church now, can understand what's going on out there to the point where they're actually echoing prophetic theology from Rome. It's just as bad with Bible doctrine. You can't understand that either unless you obey the God that wrote that. And so having your prayer answered relies on believing, obeying, and trusting the God that hears it. Therefore, I mean, seriously, we are created in his image, right? Let us create man in our image is what he said in Genesis, right? He's got two ears like you do. So if you don't think he can hear your prayers, then you're putting your God in a box. Literally. And so having your prayer answered, or your prayers answered, rather, relies on believing, obeying, and trusting him, and trusting that he hears you. So unless you ask in faith, you cannot hope to have your prayer answered. It's like walking into an empty grocery store, hoping to find some food on the empty shelves, let's say, which is about to happen soon in regards to how civil wars are going to be brought forth in this nation. But if you pray wherein you don't really believe there is a God in heaven hearing you, then you're walking into an empty heaven presently. And so it's a useless prayer. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. It's like the other toss of the coin is walking into an empty bank asking for a loan. Stick your hand out and wait for that money to end up in your hand. I'll stop by next week because you're going to still be standing in there with dust on your hand. James chapter 1. Verses 6 to 8 says this, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And just so you know, a double-minded man is what the majority of Christians are today. They claim Jesus is Lord, yet they smoke cigarettes because they don't believe his promises regarding how he will help them overcome cigarettes. This is also true with the alcoholic, the drug addict, those that are into porn. I mean, any other fleshly lust known to man, there's a mess of them out there, right? They're double-minded. I mean, many Christians also stand as being double-minded in how they stay in churches that they know. They have a Bible in their hand knowing that it's in apostasy. They know what's being declared from the pulpit doesn't match what was declared from the Bible. And this is why a lot of the Christians will walk into a church with an NIV. It makes them feel better knowing, okay, well, there's thousands of verses missing, but the pastor uses the NIV, so at least I know what he's saying is in this Bible. Walk in there with a King James and see what happens. Because I remember when we first, this was a few months before I even got on a pulpit, and my wife and I used to go to this one church, and I've talked about him many times as Pastor Russ, right? And I was the only one that walked into that church with an NIV. And I think my wife had one too, though. Or maybe she had a King James, I don't know. But Pastor Russ spoke from the King James. He read from the King James when he preached. And every time I was there, it's not every verse he said, but every sermon, at least 2 to 3 times, he would declare, he would read a verse from the NIV that I'm going, it's just not in this Bible. It's not here. And so if you walk into an SDA church, or and I know they use the new King James or the NIV as well, but I think some of them use the King James too. But if you're in a church and you have the King James Bible, the only one that matches the Dead Sea Scrolls, the only one that was protected when the two witnesses were here, or what were killed, rather, well, I mean, they've been here all along. It's just no one knew that the two witnesses were the Old and New Testament. You know, so. And for those of you that threw your eyebrows up on that one, I got a page on the website all about the two witnesses. I did a sermon on it, too, some time ago. But Jesus Christ is quite plain in his word about coming out of the churches that you have unchecked leaders that see no sin in joining their church with the state. Every single solitary church out there, with the exception of the remnant of her seed, are under a 501c3 government contract with the United States of America, which in prophecy is the second beast of Revelation that hates and will kill Christians. And matter of fact, this government will be the first on planet Earth to enforce the mark of the beast. And the SDA Church has a 501c3 legal binding contract with it. And so if that doesn't bother you, well, then that's on you. Such churches have no choice but to obey the government over the God of the Bible, because once that contract was signed, they were locked into political correctness on the pulpit. That's why they have to say Allah is God. Homosexuality is no longer an abomination. They have women pastors. Their hospitals perform abortions. And they even openly defend the man of sin in Rome, to the point their pastors not only wear the robes of the Jesuit, they declare the Pope a holy leader on camera. And yes, I have those videos linked out on SDAapostasy.org. And so we know every Protestant church on the planet is based on a double-minded theology wherein they mix Bible Christianity with paganism or Catholicism. They think it's Catholicism. They think Catholicism is Christianity, but it's not. Not by a long shot. It's not. It's what the Bible said Satan would do with Christianity. You have to mix the truth. That's why he's, it's called the Whore of Babylon. The word Babylon means to mix truth with error. So, I mean, they all declare the truth regarding accepting Jesus as Lord. Well, yeah, that way you can get that group hug going. But then in the next breath, they declare you must disobey him by keeping the Sabbath of the Pope. Or agree that people scream in hellfire for all eternity, and that makes Jesus smile. Or agree that the Vatican Trinity, with their one God theology, that's the Trinity. And these people that say Jesus isn't God, the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, you're preaching Trinity, and you don't even know it. That's how the Trinity is. Do some study. Find out what the Trinity really is. It's a one God thing. You know, and or the pagan rituals and the holidays, all of them, all of the churches, they, every one of them now, do Christmas, Easter, Halloween, Valentine's Day, which is coming up, I guess, next week. And, I mean, there's a reason there was a Valentine's Day massacre. I mean, there's, you know, in Chicago, my grandpa was right down, you know, he saw it. You know, of course, this is before he went to war and died. But, I mean, the Christian church is the ultimate double-minded man of today. But when you look at the SDA church, it's worse, because SDAs used to be known to study and understand their Bibles. But it's no longer true. Just by some of the comments you see online from some of us here in the SDR church that put up videos. It's like they've never read a Bible sometimes, or Spirit of Prophecy. It's like, or what they're reading has all been rewritten. I mean, just as Jesus warned the people he called out of the synagogues 2,000 years ago in Matthew 16:6, he said that you must take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Do you think that's only going to happen once in history of the Christian church, when it worked so well 2,000 years ago? Seriously. Why would anybody think that, oh, their church is perfect? That's what the Jews thought. The church became their God. Just like today. Catholics, SDAs, they both say the same thing. You got to stay in the church to be saved. You don't believe me? I got a video with the documented statements from both churches. And so, just as Jeremiah of old tried to warn the people to walk away from apostasy, the remnant of her seed is doing the same for the dear SDA people. But, like back then, we are ridiculed, threatened, and even hacked and hated for telling them the truth, which confirms the double-minded man, he stands strong in the SDA Church. Still, our duty is clear, and we will do all we can for them. And so pray for them, because in some cases, we have seen how some have left the church when they heard about, you know, those that left before them that had their Christian walks blessed to the point their prayers are being heard. And that's why I wanted to touch on why some are not getting their prayers heard. I mean, there's a big difference. It's night and day. I mean, the grass is really greener this side of the fence when it comes to getting your prayers answered in the SDR church. I mean, Jesus must be obeyed, but not like the tyrant who threatens to kill, because that's not him. That's not his character. That's Satan. That's another Jesus, as the prophecy said. We obey out of love for him, and he knows it. Many claim to love Jesus, but when their leaders are exposed by using rock-hard scripture, as well as documented fruits declared on camera or in writing, they choose rather to defend their leaders over and above the Lord they claim to love. That, my brothers and sisters, is what being a double-minded man is all about. And that's why his prayers aren't getting answered. Just as you cannot serve God and mammon, you cannot serve Christ and an apostate pastor. It's not how it's done. It's not Christianity. That's churchianity. That's falderal, in effect. Romans, chapter 1, verses 25 and 26. It says that the people like this, you know, that, we present the truth. And that's another thing, too. The videos that I put out and some of the other brethren here in the Seventh-day Remnant Church, the videos we put out, we back everything up what we're saying with Scripture and Spirit of Prophecy, if need be, because we know a lot of SDAs watch it, right? We back it up with truth. But that angers them, just like it angered Korah. But Romans 1, verses 25 and 26 says, people like this change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature, which is their pastor, more than the Creator, which is their God, who is blessed forever. Amen? And then it goes on in verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And yes, this is why the Seventh-day Adventist Church has stated on camera, in writing, that homosexuality and homosexual marriage is no longer an abomination unto God. Yes, many SDAs will say their pastors never said that word for word. But what of their actions that say they are double-minded when it comes to homosexuality, and that's why their prayers aren't getting answered? What of the on-camera statements in 2011 from Loma Linda, a pastor that promoted homosexual marriage in California? And he was never rebuked by the General Conference. And so, you know, inaction is just as, you know, telling as action. Like, if they don't do anything when someone's openly under their tutelage, I mean, the General Conference pastors or leaders are supposed to, you know, help when some of these guys step off. You know, tell them, look, you better straighten up and fly right or get off that pulpit. Or even, check this out. I couldn't believe this when I posted it online, when I found it online years ago, or I think it was in a video, I heard it or something. Or not in a video, or I don't know. I just got this from a Seventh-day Adventist elder by the name of Clifford Goldstein. He declared not too long ago that I'm sure Jesus looks approvingly on loving, monogamous, and committed homosexual sodomy. He didn't just say relationships, he said sodomy. So the act is now sanctified. It used to be that if you're homosexual, okay, that's a problem, but just don't act on it. Well, why not just be, you know, delivered from the demon? I don't want to keep going there. It's just sad and strange. But look at, or what about Ben Carson, who refused to defend the Bible when asked the question on camera regarding homosexual marriage being the law of the land, regardless of how the Bible says it is sin? He caved. Because he too is a double-minded man. I think the question to some extent was, it was a simple question they were saying. If the Constitution says one thing and the Bible says another, should we as Americans do as the law says if it goes against the Bible? And then he couldn't answer it. He says, it depends on the verse. No, never. It's just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walking up to Nebuchadnezzar and saying, we're not careful in answering you. Which means, hey, there's nothing to even think about here. Constitution is second. The Bible is always first, regardless of what the law is. It's not a difficult question. It's a simple one, because it was. That's why the person worded it that way. This is a simple question. The simple answer is the Bible's first. You know, this is why so many people in the SDA Church have a weak prayer life. Again, it says in James chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, James chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so I ask, do you want your prayers answered? All of us have a plethora of things we pray for. And yes, we know sometimes our Father answers no, because we also know we ask amiss. But wouldn't you want absolute assurance that he does hear your prayers, regardless of how he answers? Because, you know, since he hears them, you're in his good graces, because he doesn't hear the sins, the prayers of the sinners. He'll hear the sinner's prayer, yeah, when they give it up and say, okay, I want your son to savior. But they don't hear the prayers of people that are, their hands are full of blood, because anybody that's connected with Rome now, yeah, they're guilty by association. If you don't believe me, go to any long-term prison. Go to Statesville, for example, and ask some of the people in there. I mean, they're all innocent. They're all going to say that, obviously. But ask the guys that are honest and say, yeah, did you commit the murder? He says, no, nope. But the guy that I was hanging with did, and I was in the room with him. So he's in jail, too. And so how is it it can go both ways that, you know, it's no big deal? If your leaders believe this way, you don't, so you're going to continue sitting in the church. No, you're just as bloody as they are now, because you're under Roman rule. You cannot have that. You know, you cannot have anything, you know, like when it comes to having your prayers answered and all that. You're not going to have everything being all well and good. You know, you're not going to have that smile on your Father's face while disobeying his word, when he says in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Seriously, do you know what that means? And this, and I'll finish with this, because this has to do with the prayers, and we know. You know, because we know about the altar of incense, but we all also know, walking up to the altar of incense, you can't be walking up loaded down with sin thinking everything's cool because you're going to just get up there and pray. No, your prayer's not going to get heard. You got to be prepared. You got to be repentant. You got to be in confession. You've already confessed. You've already repented. But then you have no sin. You know, a lot of people have faith for that because it's obvious. 1 John 1:9 is clear. But for some odd reason, now I was like this too in my early walk as a Christian. But for some, you know, I know, okay, fine, everything's good. I'm on the same page with my Father. Everything's fine. If I was to die right now, I'm going to wake up at the second coming and go to heaven with everybody else, right? But to ask him for this or to ask him for that, I felt like I wasn't worthy, and I wasn't, but still. I want to do things for him. I want to do great things for him. That's why I don't mind, you know, praying for some of the big stuff, like, you know, praying for a campground, our own campground. You know, I'm not talking about, you know, I wouldn't, not to, you know, just so we can meet once a year or twice a year. You know, we don't have to make it to where we're going to live there. That'd be a little odd. But yeah, so can two walk together except they be agreed? A lot of people don't know what that means. I mean, if you're pastor or general conference president or any other leader in the general conference says things that you know are not in line with the word of God, why do you stay in that church? I mean, if there was only one verse in the Bible regarding all this, and there's a lot more than one verse in regards to walking with someone you shouldn't be walking to, but if you only know one verse in the Bible, Amos 3:3, about you can't walk together with someone unless you agree with them, well, then that means you're double-minded if you stay in the church. Because you tell me, you tell everybody else in the Seventh-day Remnant Church that put up the videos or sent out the emails or join in the chat rooms, you tell them all that, yes, you know your leaders are in apostasy, but yet you're going to stay in anyway. which means you are in agreement with them. Whether you like it or not, you are in agreement with them. And if you're not, well, then at the very least, you're a double-minded man or woman, for that matter. And yes, some of you are going to say, you know, but Amos was plain. You know, staying in the SDA Church means you are walking with and in agreement with the apostate GC, or General Conference. You're boldly exposed as being double-minded, and that is why your prayer life is so very, very weak. No getting around that. You cannot hope to have prayer answered when you use strange fire to ignite the incense. And that is what all Seventh-day Adventists do, walking in lockstep with their apostate leaders. And next Sabbath, we're going to continue on with reasons some prayers are not answered, as a matter of fact, because there's a lot more than just this. I mean, there's all different ways of not getting your prayers answered. So I hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared. I'll be back in a minute.